friends. Welcome back to the Wealthy, Worthy, and Wild podcast. I am your host, Amy, from rebelnutrition.com. If you're new around here, I am an FNTP online course creator, and I used to be a digital nomad. Now I'm here in LA, not really able to go anywhere because of the shutdown that has happened once again. But you know, things are good. I'm here with the podcast today. I've got an incredible guest. I'm so excited to bring back for, I think this is her third time, Miss Wendy Weeks. We met, gosh, I don't even remember how we met, but it was a couple years ago now. And I think we were either both in the process of going through the Nutritional Therapy Association program, or we had both just graduated. I don't know. Somehow our paths crossed, and it has been love ever since. We've stayed in touch, mostly virtually. We only met one time in person, but you can just hear through her voice, you guys, on this podcast. She's just a gem of a human being. I absolutely love her. So she is an FNTP like myself, but she currently, I mean, she's just an expert in so many different areas, which I think is fascinating. So her and I have obviously bonded on like the nutrition side of things, but also beauty counter. She's also incredible at branding and graphic design. But today I'm mostly excited about her coming on to talk about one of my favorite topics, which is human design. And as some of you guys may remember, back in the day, I went through a training where I learned actually how to read human design charts, even though I never really had any desire to do like one-on-one chart readings or anything like that. I was just personally really fascinated about it, and I ended up making a whole online course on how to read your own, kind of like a DIY human design course. But I also wanted to bring Wendy on today because, you know, human design, it was something I did a couple years ago, and I'm still obviously very interested in it, but I feel like she is more of an expert. So I wanted to come on and pick her brain a little bit, as human design and knowing what your human design is can really help us in our businesses, because I know a lot of us are business owners, we're growing, we're scaling. Now, if you are not sure what human design is, the first thing that I will say is that you definitely want to get your chart and learn the basics before you listen to this episode. So I have a free intro to human design course for you guys. And if you haven't gotten it yet, all you have to do is text the word HD, like as in human design, HD course, one word, no spaces, to the number 44222. And this is really cool, you guys, because if you text HD course to 44222, it will literally send you a link to enroll in the free human design intro course. And you can pause this episode, go through the free course, get your chart, learn about, you know, the basics of your unique chart, what that means for you in your business, in money, attracting abundance, relationships, and so much more. You guys, human design is insane. The accuracy of what it can tell you about your life and, you know, how to make decisions and how to know when you are out of alignment just by the feelings that you're feeling. And this is going to be unique for whatever it says in your chart. So again, you are definitely going to want to get your free chart, go through the basics. And again, if you text the word HD course, one word, no spaces, to 44222, you will get my free intro to human design course. I can't wait for you guys to go through it and learn the basics before you come back to this episode. Definitely want to come back because we are getting into the nitty gritty. Wendy and I, and just myself as a solo episode, we've done many different episodes on this podcast about human design to this point, but nothing has gone this in depth yet. So I'm really excited for you guys to hear it. And Wendy, I'm so excited to have you back on the podcast and for you guys to listen to her amazingness once again. So if you guys aren't following Wendy yet, make sure to follow her at Weeks of Wonder on Instagram and weeksofwonder.com. All of her services are listed there. I know she does lots of human design and graphic design and beauty counter. She's just amazing. She does so many things. So let's get into this episode with Wendy, and I hope you guys enjoy it. I'm so excited to have you here for a second time, Wendy. And today we are going to be talking about human design, which is different than what we chatted about last time. So I will link to Wendy's previous interview about Beauty Counter in the show notes for anybody who's interested in that. But Wendy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Amy. I am so, so excited to be back and to talk about human design this time.
It's like my favorite thing to talk about. So I was actually really, really excited for this episode.
I feel like all roads lead back to human design. Like, even if we're not talking specifically about human design, just like the energetic properties of just us as humans and the conversations I have with my friends about like their momentum in their business and their motivation and the things that hold them back or the things that they feel really called to. It's just like like, show me your chart. It's so relevant. So I'm really excited to be sharing this, and hopefully it helps some business owners out there.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm really excited about today. And I will just say kind of a disclaimer, you guys, about this episode. If you are new to human design and you don't even really know what it is, you don't know what the energy types are or any of that, I'm going to link to a couple other episodes that you can listen to first, because this episode today is going to be a little bit more in depth. We're going to be talking about like the different centers and the gates and stuff like that, and applying all of that information back to you as an entrepreneur and like what to kind of look for in your chart to help you grow and scale your business. And not only so that you can just make more money, but so that you can, you know, feel more aligned in your business and have more fun and feel more ease, because I think that's really important. So first, can you kind of tell us, because you do a lot of different things, you are very multifaceted and you are a pro at in so many different areas, but can you tell us how you got into human design in the first place?
Yeah. I mean, actually it was partly you, Amy. I remember, you were getting into it and I was like, what is this human design stuff? And at the same time, I had a coworker and friend of mine who introduced me to it. And I just, you know, when you get those pings from multiple different places, you're like, okay, I think I'm getting like turned into this direction. They need to lean in and see what's here. That's exactly how it happened for me with human design. Is I felt like I was looking for the next thing in my business, and I felt like I wasn't completely aligned with what my business looked like at the time. I was working as a nutritionist, and to be honest, it just is not my jam to be the practitioner, I realized. And I stepped out of that role actually just recently this past year and stepped into coaching the practitioner on how they can run their online wellness business to be super aligned with their energetic output and what they feel intuitively aligned with. So currently I do a couple of different things. Like you said, I can't get away from that. I really do love being involved in different stuff, but I'm currently a director at Beauty Counter. So I'm mentoring a team of women who are in the safer beauty industry. And I'm also running that business myself, of course, with clients. And then on the other side of things, I am a self-proclaimed human design marketing strategist. So I help female entrepreneurs establish strategic and intuitive alignment in their wellness business. So like you said, they can show up feeling easeful and their work can feel really aligned instead of feeling like they're having to do all of these shoulds and that their to-do list needs to be 10 miles long and nothing that they actually want to do. So it is really my life work, I've realized, to combine marketing with intuition. And I feel like there's no better way to do that than with practically applying human design to business.
I love that combination of something really kind of more masculine, like marketing and strategy, and then fusing it together with something kind of more energetic, like human design or even astrology, which is kind of part of human design. But can you, I think I use the word alignment a lot too. And I wonder if we can give like a maybe a more specific example for somebody who maybe is in their business and maybe they are feeling like maybe they're totally out of alignment, but like, what does that look like to you? Or what do you feel like people kind of come to you for? Like, how do you feel like it feels in their business when they're needing something else? Does that make sense?
It does for sure. And I think that's exactly what I specialize in. Is when people come to me, they're feeling like out of momentum, they're feeling out of sync with what they're creating, they're feeling like they're following all the shoulds, they're doing what they're seeing other people do on Instagram. So there's a lot of like comparison either with the self or with others, and a lot of like showing up because we feel like we should, instead of establishing good boundaries and honoring our energetic aura and honoring where our energy is at and what we can actually put out into the universe, versus like feeling, I mean, that's just unfortunately what our culture is all about here in America. Unfortunately, is it's like live to work sometimes. And I know that you, Amy, are flipping that script, and I definitely am too. I want the people that work with me to feel super at ease when they sit down at their desk. Like, I want them to know what they're working towards and how they can honor themselves in that day. And I think that, you know, a lot of what I talk to people about is it's more about personal development versus professional development. I think once we can master who we are, then that translates into our business. And when we establish really healthy boundaries and expectations with others, and when we learn what our strengths and gifts are innately and like get validated in that, I think it's just, it's a moment of magic. Like it all starts to click. So that's kind of how I bring people from like the shoulds all the way over into like, wow, I'm really excited to do this.
I think that's so, so important. And just to give anyone listening, kind of another example, I'll tell you guys what it kind of looks like for me in my business when I feel out of alignment, is that I find myself doing things, I mean, basically to your point, what you said, the shoulds, like I find myself doing things that somebody else, some other expert told me that I should be doing to make more money. And when I focus on those things, it feels like death. It feels like it's killing my soul. And when I focus on things that actually bring me joy, and I'll, just to give you like a concrete example, like making videos, even making reels, which seems so stupid in the moment, I'm like, how could this be growing my business? When I'm allowing myself to do things that are fun, there always ends up being a better end result for me because I'm following those pings, like you said, of what is fun and what feels joyful in the moment. And those things end up usually having a better result than going into something with a like, oh my God, I don't want to be doing this sort of mindset. So I love
it. Exactly. And that's exactly what we should be doing as generators too. I know you and I are both generators. And so finding those things that really light us up, like that charges our batteries and allows us to like keep going. Like I feel like our culture is, it's just ingrained in us, but that's really not realistic for the majority of people, unless maybe MGs, because they move pretty fast and they're very multi-passionate, but still like they even need to rest. Like there's definitely, there needs to be an ebb and a flow. And I think it's really about honoring what your intuition is telling you. And exactly what you just said, actually, Amy, is in your chart. So I can't wait to get to that part.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm so excited, you guys. I've never actually had a human design chart reading. So what we're going to do in this episode, Wendy has looked at my chart and we are going to look through some of the key pieces of my chart that will apply to everybody out there. So the first thing I want to make sure everybody has their chart handy. Do you, Wendy, have a recommendation? I usually use my body graph, but I don't know if you have a better recommendation.
I do too, actually. I think that's a really good resource. Yeah. It's free. And so you just put in your birthday, time, and place. And it's important to get those things exact. So a lot of people will ask me, like, I don't know exactly what time I was born. I would continue to dig for that info because it is important. It just, it's like astrology. It's based on where the planets were when you were designed, air quotes, which is like 3 months before you're actually born. And then, it matters like where all that was positioned. And it can change things in your chart if it's not accurate.
Perfect. Again, so that's mybodygraph.com. And if you guys don't have your chart yet, just pause this episode, go get it. You can get it on your phone. And then that way you can kind of listen to what we're saying and also reference your own chart. But I'm really excited. So let's start with, we're going to be talking about the centers first, which are, if you're looking at your chart, they're like the different colored shapes. So should we just start with the head center, which is the top triangle?
Good. Yes, I love that. Let's start at the crown. And that's one thing too, I always like to point out to people, because a lot of people will look at human design charts and say, what in the world am I looking at? And I like to bring it back down into some context. It looks kind of like the chakra system, like from crown to root. And then of course there's a lot of different lines and other shapes, and there's colors and stuff on here. But that's what I like to kind of point people to at first, is like, this definitely looks like the chakra system. So starting at the top, at the crown, you have the head center. So the head center is the space for ideas and being inspired and just coming up with like new ways of seeing things and just creating newness. It's about like really being inspired. And yours, Amy, is filled in. It's defined. So what that means is it's a colored shape on your chart, or it's a colored section of your chart. So since yours is colored, it means that you like innately just, it looks to me like your ideas come into you like that. Like they literally just like fall into your lap. Like you could be sitting on the couch and all of a sudden have a complete download of something that you are inspired by, or like an idea that you want to act on. Has that happened to you? I feel like I know the answer to this.
Oh, 100%.
I feel like that's just you. Like, I feel like you really are inspired so often, and it comes from inside, because that's the thing about defined centers, is that's your energy. Like that's energy that you innately have and that you can harness to build whatever you want in your life. And it's not like borrowed energy. So if you were to have an undefined, or where you have undefined places in your chart, is where you're taking in energy, versus, like I just said, the defined centers are where you already have that energy. And each place in the chart has a different characteristic of what that energy is. But like I said, for the head center, it's inspiration. So you innately are just like so inspired. You don't really need an external stimulus to feel inspired.
That's so interesting. Oh, I just wanted to clarify for people too, when we're saying, or when Wendy's saying defined, that means like it's colored in, right? You may have said that, but I just wanted to be clear for people.
Exactly. Yeah. And anywhere in the chart where it's white and there's no color there, it's undefined. So yeah, I guess you'll hear us say those terms throughout this episode.
Perfect. Yeah. And then, so basically for the head center, if it's defined, you're saying somebody who has a defined head center doesn't really need to necessarily be around other people to gain inspiration. Is that fair to say?
Exactly. Yeah. Like you, and especially with the channel that you have that, so the channel is the filled in portion between two different centers. So if I'm looking at Amy's and she has a channel that connects the head center with the center below it, which is called the Ajna center. And that's the 6447. And so this one is like, you literally, like, ideas can just plop into your lap. Like you are just, it doesn't take much. Like you already have that from the head center, but it's just even more so even with that channel. And we'll get into the channels in a second, but yeah, the head center, you're so inspired on your own. If somebody had that undefined, so if you have no color in your head center, that's what I have actually. So it would be best for you to be around others when you're trying to formulate new ideas or brainstorm or even writing out your content calendar. Like head to a coffee shop or ask a friend if they would get together with you and just like borrow some energy from elsewhere, because it probably won't come from within.
Do you find in your experience that people with a defined head center are kind of more like okay working alone? Whereas, I mean, obviously that's what you just said in terms of gaining inspiration, but I wonder if people with an open center are more likely to thrive in like a team setting versus being on their own.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, I think there could be something to that. I also think that one thing with human design that I kind of always come back to is that like everybody, you know, all the types, all the five types, obviously all have their role in society. And I think even when you get into the nitty gritty of the centers or the gates or the channels, I still think that applies, that everybody kind of has their own role. So maybe somebody with a head center that's filled in would be really good at like at leading the conversation about a new idea. And then the people who have the open head centers would be good at kind of taking in that energy. Cause again, the open centers are taking in the energy of people with defined centers. So it's like an energy exchange. They'd be good at kind of like taking that in and then brainstorming back out. So they might be a good facilitator maybe. And then the people with the open head centers are part of that, they're participants. So I think there's definitely a place for kind of everybody. It's just, and I think honestly, open and closed head centers, like they can work really well in tandem because they can just feed each other's energy back and forth.
Totally agree. And this is, okay, so I have a question before we get into the Ajna too. Do you feel like in your experience, again, obviously, I think there's no right or wrong answer to this, but a lot of times with human design, we talk just about the energy types. And the reason why I kind of didn't want to talk about that today is I feel like that's kind of the go-to, but I wanted to get more in depth. Do you think there's one element of the chart that is the most indicative of what somebody's personality is going to be like? Like, do you think it's the profile number or the centers or the energy type, or is it just truly a mix of everything?
That's a really good question. I mean, of course it all plays together because it's all like a connected chart and it's all telling a similar story, and everything kind of makes up everything else. But I would say, I mean, for anybody who's really just wanting to get into this and wanting to apply human design in any way, definitely start with your type. And I think that the centers and the gates and all of that, they can come as a chapter two, but I would say the type will encompass most of the things that are going to be in your chart, like on a high level, very high level. But I wouldn't say there's like one thing necessarily that's very telling about a person's personality or the way they're designed in a chart. I feel like it all works together. It all kind of has to work together.
Just thinking about it, and I'm like, sometimes, so, and just so you guys, as a reminder, the types are like generator, manifesting generator, projector. I just sometimes like don't always resonate with being a generator. Maybe we'll have to have you come back for a round three where we talk about like the profiles and stuff.
For sure. What do you feel like you resonate more with if it's not generator?
I mean, I think about 50% of the time I definitely resonate with generator, but I also sometimes resonate with projector, I think, because I don't always feel like I have unlimited energy. Like even when I am doing something that I love doing, I still, I don't know. And I guess that's kind of like a simplified term of a projector, is that they're only supposed to work, you know, 3 hours a day or whatever. But I don't know.
I know what you mean. And I think, like, I think that's what's important too, is at the end of the day, we're all human. And like, you know, not one type is going to be more superhuman than the others, of course. And like, I mean, of course, MGs, they have so much energy, like they just kind of keep going and going and going. And they have a long list of to-dos, and they're really inspired by a lot of different things, and they're able to take like quick action on those things. So I would say those, you know, manifesting generators are one of the kind of quicker moving types, and maybe have that Energizer Bunny type feeling. But I also think like even they need to rest. Like I said earlier, I think there's definitely a human element to all of this, which is like, we're not, none of us are really meant to be on all the time. So I think what human design helps people understand is, when I am on, how can I use my energy best so I don't burn out completely? Because the balance of like being on and off is important for everybody, I think.
Totally agree. So let's get into the next center, which is the Ajna, correct?
Yes, it is. So Ajna, A-J-N-A, for those of you that are like, what in the world? But you can think of your Ajna as like a mental filing cabinet. It's, you think of kind of the energy transfer, like from the head center, where you're getting all these ideas and you're feeling so inspired. You bring that down into the Ajna and you're trying to make sense of things. You're trying to put things into, like, you're trying to theorize them or make sense of them, trying to connect different thoughts to make sense. I mean, it's kind of like a storytelling center, I guess, if you could think of it that way. It's like, here's all these details that we just gathered from the head center. Now let's conceptualize it. So the Ajna is like where all those ideas get processed. You have a closed Ajna. I hope you don't mind. Do you mind me sharing about your chart? Like,
oh no, not at all.
Defined. Okay.
I'm an open book. You can tell people whatever you want.
Perfect. Okay. But yeah, so I just said closed and defined are interchangeable here, but, a defined Ajna would mean, that you have a fixed way of thinking about something. Like, you have certain beliefs and those are your beliefs, and that is what it is. And maybe you also process things in a way that's very consistent. Like, if you kind of look at the things that you've taken in as inspiration and then conceptualized in some way, you might be able to find patterns of like, oh yeah, I always tend to think this way about something, or I'm always feeling pulled towards an XYZ direction when I'm, you know, making an opinion about something. And on the reverse, an open Ajna would be somebody who's literally considered to be open-minded. Like, there's somebody who is able to very easily see different perspectives and able to kind of like calculate, okay, maybe this could, you know, this could be one way of thinking about it, but this one also makes sense. Like, they're not the person who necessarily has a strict pattern around their thoughts.
That's so interesting, actually, just the way that you phrase that, because I'm thinking in terms of business, and I wonder if people with open Ajnas tend to have more challenges in terms of deciding on like what their business is going to be, just because of being so open-minded and like open to new ideas. Have you ever seen that, or do you feel like that could be true?
Yeah, I'm like raising my hand over here because I have an open, actually my chart is almost exactly opposite of yours. I have every center open except for the two at the bottom in the center, the sacral and the root. So if I'm looking at Amy's chart, and she has all centers defined except for the root center, which is at the very bottom. I am the exact opposite. So I feel like, yeah, I can definitely relate with what you just said. I feel it's interesting because I feel like it actually plays really well with my generator qualities, that I do feel really inspired by a lot of different things. And that's kind of the challenge with the open head center and the open Ajna, is that you're seeing all these different ways that you can do it and all these different ways that you can create content, or what niche you could have, what, you know, what people you could speak to, different projects or different offerings. And it can be hard to narrow it down. And I think as a generator, I kind of have that on my side, at least, that I can use, because the strategy of a generator is to respond to things with your gut response about stuff. So luckily, I'm able to kind of bring it down into like, okay, do I actually think that that project is right for me? Or am I just trying to create something because I was inspired by somebody else doing a really good job with their own version of that project? So yeah, to answer your question, I definitely think it can be hard for people with open Ajnas to narrow in.
Do you have any tips or strategies for that? I feel like, and I wonder, I don't know the statistics, or maybe you do, around like what percentage of people is open versus closed, but I feel like this is a common theme that I hear from a lot of people, is just feeling inspired, or, you know, being multi-passionate and having trouble kind of narrowing down which idea to take action on.
For sure. I would say definitely get out of your head. I know that's easier said than done, but I think we spend a lot of time logically processing things when it's not, I mean, unless you're a specific type of projector that's actually meant to do that, I would say it's really not how we're designed. Most of us, I mean, the majority of the population, 70% of people are generators. So like I said, you can use that sacral response to kind of, you know, gut instinct, kind of test yourself. Is this right for me? And you can ask yes or no questions. That's kind of how you use that gut instinct power that you have, is just say like, is this right for me? And then you can kind of start to warm that up by asking it really easy questions, and then start asking it more complicated or questions that you're really, really unsure about the answer. But I find that once you practice this as a generator, you'll notice like, okay, I get goosebumps, or I get a feeling in the pit of my stomach, or my chest gets super tight when it's a no, or, you know, my heart, you know, presses forward when it's a yes. Like, you'll kind of start to recognize that. Another thing that I use that's not related to human design, but still energetic work, is I use this thing called a pendulum. Have you used one, Amy?
I haven't, but I've heard of them.
Yeah. So I actually got this from a spiritual counselor that I was seeing for a little while. And she, I mean, we did like all kinds of cool stuff. She had like a crystal bed and all kinds of different cool things, but I really resonated with her style. Anyway, the pendulum is basically a crystal at the end of a string, and you hold the string up with your pointer finger and your thumb, like right in front of your heart center. And you can use it just like I described with the sacral center. You can ask it, is this a yes, or is this a no? And you can even, before you do that, ask the pendulum, show me a yes and show me a no. And it's really wild, because it actually, like, without my hand moving, it will move, like, you know, it'll nod up and down, or it'll go side to side for a no. And it's pretty wild. But yeah, there's tools like that, I guess, that you could use. But coming back to human design, I would say lean on your strategy. Like, every single type in human design has a strategy. And I was just describing the generator strategy, but go back to your type and your strategy. If you're feeling really lost, that's a good place to start, at least.
Yes. And again, you guys, I will link to, I also have a free course that it's going to tell you all about your type and strategy. So if you're still confused on like what those things are, I will link to that in the show notes. Okay. So next up is the throat center.
Yes. So the energy of the throat center is communication and manifestation. If somebody has this defined, like you do, Amy, they're really good at communicating and having it resonate with other people. And then the important thing to remember about the throat center is the gates. So the like half lines, I guess, the line, the colors that's kind of coming off of the center that have a number attached to it, that's called a gate. And yours, you have gate 20. So gate 20 is further defining that manifestation and that communication style for you. So gate 20 is the effervescent truth teller, which basically means that you have a really easy way of like cutting through the BS and telling people how it is, like telling it like it is and calling things out in a way that's like, it's just like so truthful. It's like, I'm not going to sugarcoat this for you. This is how it is.
That's amazing.
Does that sound right?
Yes. Well, it's interesting, because I was going to say it is correct, but I feel like only maybe in the last few years, like, I don't think I necessarily had that, you know, when I was younger. But I wonder if like some parts of the chart after your Saturn return, you kind of like come into more. I wonder if that's related, because I know it has to do with astrology.
It could be. And I would love to look into that, because I'm in my Saturn return and I would love a little explanation. But your gate 20 is actually, it's half black and half red. So the black in the chart means that's something you're really conscious of. It's like your personality, and it's maybe how people might describe you. It's an apparent trait. And then the red is your design. To me, when I look at it, it's like it's almost not fully formed. Like, it happens. It's not something maybe you have right at birth. It's maybe something that you develop. So that's what I'm seeing with the gate 20. And that's pretty consistent with what you just said.
Oh yeah. That's really interesting. I didn't know why it was two colors. So that really makes sense.
Yeah, For sure. It's really cool when I'm doing a reading and I see something like that, like you just said, that, oh, I kind of know that about myself, but not until recently. And I just want to like give you a virtual high five because it's like, doing the work. Like, yeah.
So what does it mean for somebody who has an open throat then? Let's say like somebody who is in business and wants to have a podcast or like wants to be a, you know, online in a public way, but they have an open throat like you do. Like, what does that mean for them?
That's a really good question. So one way that actually you can spot somebody with an open throat center that I've been paying attention to a lot lately is they might have a raspiness to their voice or like a hoarseness. Like they really don't have a consistent energy. Like they can't talk for hours on end. Like they'll burn out that energy because it's borrowed. It's not actually theirs. Cause again, it's open. It's not an energy that they like hold like a closed throat center would. So I actually always think of Oprah when I think of open throat centers because she has one apparently from the charts I've seen of her. And if you think about Oprah, like her life purpose is to bring other people's ideas and manifestations and the things they're working on like to life. And she gives them space to share about that. So that's kind of the quality of the open throat is that they're able to take in other people's energy and help amplify it and make it even bigger. So they would be really good as like a podcast host or somebody who works with other people or like partners with other people in some way because they have that ability to kind of bring other people's communication out even more.
That's so interesting. Yeah. Like take other people's energy and sort of amplify it. But then I think at the same time, don't open centers have to be a little bit more aware of like overexerting themselves too?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's where boundaries come in and really knowing your center. Like, and that's the thing I love about human design is if you feel a certain way, like if you feel like, man, I really get exhausted after talking for 3 hours straight, like your human design chart will likely confirm that. And it's so wild, but yeah, knowing it and honoring it is the key.
So good. Okay. So let's go. What is next?
The G center. And that one is like, that's one of the juicier ones because this is where identity lives. And it's like, it's where love and life purpose and direction, it's like where the soul kind of is. And there's actually a property of this center called the magnetic monopole. And it's basically saying that like, your soul is constantly looking for alignment. It's like looking to pull in the things that are meant for you. So I just think that's a cool property of this.
I love that. I love it so much. I remember now. So I learned about human design like a year ago, so I'm a little bit rusty. And so when you're talking about some of this and it's coming back to me and I'm like, oh my God, the G center. I think that's my favorite one to learn about.
Yes, exactly. And it is, it's like who you really are. Like like if you have a defined G center, which you do, Amy, it's like, here I am, world. Like, this is who I am, take it or leave it. Like, I don't really care because I am so sure that I know who I am and I love that. And, you know, maybe they're not always a confident person. I mean, they can definitely go through waves. Like that's, you know, life happens, but deep down these defined G center people really do know who they are. And one example I love to give is I have an open G center. And so I feel like I don't have that as much. Like I have pings and I have things that feel really intuitively aligned with me. But as far as like knowing who I really am or like what my life purpose is, it's like constantly being created. I don't know if it will ever actually come to fruition. To be honest, I think it's like just always something I'm working on. But another thing that I've noticed ever since I was a kid is that I'll be in different circles of friends and I can kind of like blend in with who I'm around. It's kind of like the chameleon effect. So it's not like I'm trying to be a different person. It's just that I'm picking up on the energies of the different people that I'm around and kind of like trying their identity on for size. You know, it's kind of interesting.
All right, you guys, taking a brief pause from this episode to tell you about my social media membership. So tell me if you've ever felt like this before. You want to grow your audience on social media. You know that you should be posting consistently and sharing valuable content. You want to share your expertise, help more people, and you want to make sales, right? Duh. But you get so overwhelmed on what to even say and what your audience wants from you, especially when it's really small, that you end up either spending way too much time on it, or worse, you don't even and post anything. So this is where my Daily Digital Nutritionist membership comes in, okay? Every single day, you'll receive a customizable prompt or idea for what to say on social media. And each of these prompts is strategically aimed at growing your audience, engaging with people, and ultimately selling your products, services, or offers online. And this membership is definitely aimed at wellness professionals. So health coaches, nutritionists, fitness instructors, yoga instructors, really anybody who's in the wellness world is totally going to benefit from these prompts. But I will say they are 100% customizable to your unique business. So you can definitely make them your own. You're never going to be a carbon copy of anybody else inside the membership. And the greatest thing, you guys, is that you can cancel anytime, no strings attached. And once you enroll, you'll also be invited into the private community. And this is really awesome. This is kind of like part two of the membership, because not only are you getting access to these daily prompts, but every single time you post a new piece of content, whether that's on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, you can share the link to it inside the private community. And we, the hundreds of us inside there already, will give you engagement. So all that we ask is that every time you post something in there, you also go engage with somebody else's content. Now, if you're interested in joining right now, you can actually join for $20 off per month, which makes the price of the membership less than a dollar per day. So if you're ready to join and you want that coupon, all you have to do is text the word Daily Digital, one word, no spaces, to 44222, and you will immediately receive a text back that includes a link for you to sign up and get the promo code. Again, all you have to do to join the membership for $20 off per month is text the word Daily Digital, one word, no spaces, to 44222. And you guys, this only works if you're in the US. So if you're outside of the US, you can check out the show notes for this episode, and the link to sign up and get the coupon will be in there. You can also hit me up on Instagram at Rebel Nutrition if you can't find the link. Okay, back to the episode. That's so interesting. Yeah, now that you're saying that, I'm thinking back to learning about it. And one of the things my teacher had mentioned was, like, when you have an open G center, always kind of having to ask yourself the question, is this me or is this not me? Like, because anytime you're in a group of let's say any different type of people, like, you will try on that identity and be just like them. And then you go to another friend group and maybe you're trying on that identity and being just like them. And it's not that you're being, you know, it's not that you're being fake. It's just that you are able to kind of take on these different energies.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think what's beautiful about that is that you're able to try them on and make that decision if it's right for you or not. Like, do you like acting, you know, that way with this group of friends versus this group of friends? You can kind of try different things and see what works best for you, what feels best. I think it's kind of fun. I don't know. In one way you could think of it is, like, it makes life an adventure of, like, I'm always becoming, and that's okay.
I love that. What is there any specific part of the G Center? I'm really interested in learning about life purpose. I've recently really deep dove into astrology and I'm learning about that. Is there a part of the G Center that will tell you that, or, like, give you direction on that if somebody was interested in that?
I wish. As far as I know, I don't think that there's anything. I mean, of course, there's the gates that come off of it, which can define maybe how you experience life. For example, yours, you have two gates that are really kind of pointing towards, like, being a lover of life and just truly loving the life experience and just simply that. Like, you don't even have to really do anything about those energetic qualities. It's just something that you naturally are inclined to, is just finding joy in life. So I think there's things like that. But one thing to note about human design is it's not a psychic tool. I mean, it can be, like, it can be definitely informative about who you are. But as far as telling you where you're meant to go, I think that might be more of, like, the incarnation cross, which I've not yet dived into. I think that goes into the life purpose. Are you familiar with that part of human design?
Not really. I know, actually, I don't even know off the top of my head what mine is. I know I've looked at it before, but I can't remember. Cause I think that's a question that has come up quite a bit for me. People wondering, like, where in the chart can tell them about life purpose. But I guess as far as G Center goes, it's kind of more like, if it's defined, then you feel really secure and, like, this is who I am. And if it's open, then it's kind of more like it's interchangeable, I guess, let's say. So what does that kind of look like in business? I guess for you, just in your personal experience as having, like, an open G Center.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, it comes back to the personal element. And I don't know if I could directly apply it to like specifically say this is, because I actually feel like my business is very intertwined with like my life purpose. So I feel like it's hard to separate the two for me sometimes, mm-hmm. but from my own personal experience, since I have an open G center, I'm always looking for what feels right. Like who is my, you know, like group of friends, like who's, what should I be surrounded by? I mean, I've been through a yoga teacher training now and a nutrition program. And of course, you know, certified in human design. And I've been a part of so many different clubs and friend groups and all of this. And it's like, what do I really want? And I don't think that answer ever will come to fruition for me. And that doesn't really scare me, like I said, because I feel like it's just a journey. And I feel like all of these things that I'm using my sacral, since I'm a generator, to decide are right for me at the time, they're creating my identity. And so my identity is always forming. So I know that's not specific to business, but it kind of is, because it's literally like how I've gotten to where I am in my business, is like following pings of which certifications do I want and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if that directly answers your question, but that's been my experience.
No, I think that totally answers the question. And another thing I wanted to note too, and maybe you can talk about this, but about the difference between like the defined versus the open centers, I think a lot of times people with open centers have kind of more challenges. Like wherever you have an open center, you probably are going to experience more challenges, which, you know, initially you think, oh, like that kind of sucks. Especially if you're somebody who has like a totally open chart, you're like, wow, so I'm just challenged in every area. But actually, I think what's really interesting about that is that those are also the areas that you become more wise, right? So like somebody looking at my chart is like, oh my gosh, you have all this really powerful defined energy, which I do. But at the same time, like I'm not going to become necessarily as wise in those areas because I'm going to have less challenges, right? Is that correct to say?
Yeah. For sure. I think it can be like that. Like you can kind of be tested a bit more when you have an open center, because it's like, you might not innately know what's best for you, or if a thought is yours or not, or if an idea is yours or not, or a belief or a fear or any of that, because you're being impressed upon. I mean, there's so many different energies that go through these centers. I mean, everything from like fear and motivation and pressure to like get things going, like momentum, that's the word I'm looking for. Identity, like I would say in general, yeah. I mean, I would say like the more open centers you have, the more exposed you are to potential of external conditioning being impressed upon you and you having maybe a bit of a challenge trying to decipher, is this mine or is this not mine? And this is somebody else's energy that I've taken on.
You said that way more eloquently than I did, like external conditioning. I think that's what I was looking for. Yeah. You're more open to external conditioning, which is so interesting. Okay. So let's go to the next one, which is the spleen, which is.
That bottom left for sure. Let's go there. So the spleen center it's actually the oldest center in the chart, because this is where our primitive desires and like not even just desires, but just our ability to survive live. So it's like, it's literally the center for intuition and health and values. And so this one's kind of interesting, because when somebody has this one, when they have a lot of gates coming off of the spleen center, it's like they have maybe a lot of fears that are holding them back, or a lot of things that they feel like are really heavy that depress their energy in terms of like being able to move forward. So it's where fear lives. But if you flip fear on its head, one of my teachers, Jenna Zoe, she says it in a really cool way. She says, these fears, yes, they might exist, but it also means like they can be a nose for something. So like, for example, Amy, you have the 44 defined, and that's like seeing kind of like having a fear of the past repeating itself. But if you flip it on its head, you kind of have a nose for seeing patterns and things and being able to like see what might happen next so that you can make a better decision next time. So there's kind of a flip side that I honestly prefer to look at. I guess I'm a bright side kind of person, but whenever I'm looking at the spleen in a chart, I see these opportunities for people to really kind of flip the script and see what's available to them.
That's so interesting, because I'm just thinking about what you just said with the 44 gate. If you know some of the other fears off that gate, I want you to kind of talk about those in a second, because I know that fear is a huge thing that comes up in business. But I was just going to say, to your point, one of my like biggest pet peeves in life is like experiencing something either myself or other people, seeing them go through it and then knowing that they want something different, but like not making a different decision to change it. And I feel like that's like, again, like the past repeating itself, like, okay, if it's happened to you once and then you choose not to make a different decision, then that is your own choice.
Yes, it's going to happen again. Totally. Yes. Yeah. You have that natural ability to spot that kind of stuff. And that's what's hard is like, sometimes you might have these superpowers, like I call it, like it's kind of like one of your superpowers. And I feel like it's best to probably use these on ourselves sometimes, because it can totally, I don't know, like especially with something like that, it can definitely cause chaos if you're like, wait, I have this ability to like, you know, to see that this person is not right for you. Why are you getting back together with them? Obviously, you know, that can cause all kinds of stuff. But you do, yeah, to validate that, you definitely do have the ability to see like, oh, I don't know about this. It didn't work out well last time. The other one that you have that I really wanted to point out, and you might actually feel it kind of heavily because it's actually a channel that goes to your sacral center, which it's the 50-27 is the channel. And the gate that I'm looking at on the spleen center is the 50. And that's the fear of responsibility. And I know when we think of responsibility, it's like, wait, I'm afraid of having anything that I need to like get done or take care of in my life. Like what? And that's not what that means. It's actually the fear of being your highest and most powerful self. So like there's this hesitation almost to like, and I don't know if this is, I mean, outwardly, Amy, you don't seem like this kind of person. So I'm curious about your thoughts on this, but it's the type of energy where like you have this ability to say like, oh, I really, really want this to be, you know, like what I grow into or like what all of this manifests into and, you know, whatever. But I'm afraid of actually making that happen. I'm curious, have you ever like felt that at all?
I'm trying to think. I mean, I think maybe the way that this sort of manifests is I definitely fear kind of not achieving what I want to in my life, maybe. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's like, I have all of these huge visions for myself. And like one of my biggest fears is like not living up to that. So maybe that's kind of how it manifests. But it's funny that it's the gate of responsibility, because I do think, even though you said this is kind of not what it means, but in a lot of ways, I really don't like feeling like I have responsibilities or like obligations. Once I feel like I'm obligated to do something, I don't want to do it. And maybe that's the rebel in me and like the four tendencies, but I think that's kind of really interesting too.
For sure. Yeah. And the other thing like about that gate, the fear of responsibility and the fear of being your most highest, most powerful self is, like I said, you can totally flip that and you can say, I have a nose for this. Like I have a nose for spotting like if like what's going to get me to my highest, most powerful self. And I think that is probably more true for you, just knowing you and knowing who you are. And like what you've created in your business and in your life, like it seems to me that you have a nose for spotting the things that are going to get you to where you want to be.
Well, thank you. I wonder, do you off the top of your head know like what, just briefly, what the other fears are? Because I'm wondering, I think something interesting about the spleen, if people can look at their chart and see if they have any of those gates activated, is then really asking yourself like, okay, does this really apply to me now? Because a lot of them, some of them are kind of like primal fears, right? Like some of them don't necessarily apply to our current life. Is that
for sure? I think definitely like some of them are a little bit more like, wait, what? But yeah, they're, I think that I like we were talking about, like, I think that the two that you have are more about like evolving and like being your best self and like, and also knowing what will get you there. Like both of those that you have, I feel like are just, they're so indicative of like having a nose for growth, which I feel like is totally applicable in the modern world. But yeah, some of them I think are a little bit more primitive. But I don't know the qualities of the rest of them off the top of my head. I'd have to look at it and maybe share with you for the show notes.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. We will link to that in the show notes. And also I'll link to, I don't know them off the top of my head, but I know that in the course that I have, it explains each of them. So yeah. It's a lot to remember, you know?
I know. Well, that's the thing. It's like, it is. It's, and human design is so many layers and I have to have grace for myself because it's like, and that's actually one thing that I feel like is important to say maybe on a business podcast is like, I like, we're always learning and we're always evolving. And like, I absolutely love this science and I know that it can help people. But like, even if you're listening to this and wondering like, I don't know everything and how am I even going to get started? Like, that's literally exactly what I'm doing. Like, I have learned so much by doing readings for people, and I still don't know everything about the chart off the top of my head, but like, hopefully by me saying like, I don't know that off the top of my head, maybe that gives you a little bit of grace that like, we're all still learning. And like, I don't know, it's not necessary to know everything to get started. You can still be passionate and like make a difference, even if you're still having to like memorize things, you know?
Well, and I love the fact that you said that. And I love the fact that you do that and you just take action. Like, you aren't waiting to be the world's leading human design expert before you start taking clients. You know what I mean? I think that's really inspiring to people. And also, nobody that's hiring you expects that of you either. Like, they're still willing to pay you. So
exactly. And I'll say this to my own like embarrassment probably, but I spend about like an hour prepping for a human design reading because there are so many different elements, and I don't yet know everything by heart, but I think that's the beauty of it. Like, I've gotten so familiar with the chart by doing so many readings over the past couple of months that I really am like learning it, but I've given up the expectation and the pressure. Cause well, we'll get to pressure in a second. That's in the root center. I'll get to it in a moment. But it's so important for me to recognize, like, I have to just take action and just go for it because this is something I feel really aligned with. And it really fits into like my grand vision of my business, and I'm not going to be perfect at it. And like, I don't really care. It doesn't need to be perfect, and I'll get better over time. So, but yeah, thank you. It initially started actually because a business coach of mine was like, you just have to start. You literally just have to start. And that was the best advice I think I've ever gotten for human design reading specifically.
That's great advice. And I think it can apply to pretty much everybody who's listening to this. So, okay. Sure. So next, so we're kind of going around a little bit, but we'll go into the center. So the middle square, not the bottom, but the one above, which is the sacral. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Exactly. Yep.
For so people listening, hopefully that made sense.
Yeah, exactly. So just like go to the right, I guess, of where we were. So the sacral center. So if this one's defined, you're a generator. You have the ability so the property of this center is it's just consistent life. And it's actually life, work, and sex energy. It's literally production energy. You're here to produce. And that doesn't mean all the time. Like Amy said at the beginning, sometimes there's moments where we just need to take a rest, and that's just part of being human. But generators truly are here to build and create new things. So whether that means literally like creating life and having children and dedicating your life to raising those children, that is completely within the wheelhouse of a generator's purpose. Or potentially it's creating a business, or maybe it's, it could literally be anything, creating a new method of doing things, whatever. It's just creation energy. And then it's, again, further defined by the gates that are coming out of it. So what I think is really cool, Amy, about yours is that your sacral, you have a channel that connects your spleen that we were just talking about, and that fear of responsibility gate with the sacral center. So it's the 50-27. And the 27 is, well, the 50, like we said, is the fear of responsibility, but then the 27 is the natural ability to nurture and care. So you like have this natural ability to kind of have like maternal instincts, or maybe not even that, but wanting to care for other people and wanting to like share your knowledge with them. And I think that is just so accurate for you that like you really want to nurture people to be their best self.
Thank you. Well, it's so interesting because when I was first kind of learning about the sacral center and specifically my gates, because the 27 is that sort of like maternal energy, like you said, and then I think the 59 is like for child rearing or something, which is really interesting because I'm very open about the fact that I don't think that I want to have children. But when I kind of started thinking about it in a different way, and I was like, you know what, I have a lot of students and I kind of look at them as my children in a way, like I in a way have kind of like grown and nurtured that community, and I really care for them and I care about their success. So kind of applied in a different way, but it still definitely made sense.
Oh, 100%. And 59, the way that you just said it was specific to child rearing, the way that I recognize that one, the 59 is bond making. So similar, but even still, it's kind of like the matchmaker. Like you're able to like, you'd be really good at facilitating bonds between people. And I know that you are good at that. Like you're a natural networker and you're also good at like helping people decide, like, I don't just everything kind of about like connecting people with people or people with the tools that are going to help them succeed. I feel like those are some of your strengths.
Thank you so much. Oh, I feel like this is so self-indulgent. I'm just like talking about my chart. Is there anything else? Like, I guess in terms kind of trying to relate this back to business. I mean, obviously, so if it's defined, then that's going to mean that you're here to like create and you follow your gut instincts and go take action on the things that you are responding to. But what does that look like for somebody who has an open sacral center in their business?
Yeah, good question. So they would just be a different type. So they wouldn't be a generator who is kind of here to like, it's not that they're not here to create, it's just that they have like a different set of skills. So for example, a projector, like they're, instead of the person that's in the weeds, like kind of doing the thing that a generator could be kind of taking on that persona, the projector is more of like the director of the play. They're seeing things from a 30,000 foot view of like, okay, this is what needs to happen with this. And this is how this connects with this to make our play come together, or like to make your business come together. So projectors would be really good at like being more of the coach potentially. Doesn't mean that a generator can't be a coach. It's just that like, I don't know, again, everybody has different skills, I guess. And it just wouldn't be, it wouldn't be their intuition that they lean on. They would have a different authority, which is a part of their chart, which will be defined when you pull it off of mind body graph.
Okay. And then that also can kind of mean that you have less kind of working energy. Is that correct to say?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. So like you said at the beginning of the episode, they're the kind of people who after 3 hours of work, they're burnt out, which I kind of feel like I can relate to. And it sounds like you might be this way too, Amy. Like after a couple hours, I'm pretty spent. And if I push past it, like I can, and I can kind of like exist on borrowed energy, but like I will completely burn out. And if I do it for too long, like I'm talking months or years, I'll probably hit a block where I literally will either get like sick, knock on wood, or unable to like to focus and get things done. It's really like, it's not good to mess with that energy, and it's better to honor like those short bursts that you can work in, or borrow your energy from a generator, team up with a generator. Like if you're a projector who's wanting to come out with a membership or a course or something, team up with a generator who's got that energy you can tap into.
Yes, that's great advice, which is why once you learn about human design, you want to know what everyone else's chart in your life looks like, so you can like figure out who to collaborate with and who to spend the most time with. Okay.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
One last thing about the sacral, because I feel like on the burnout side of things, I feel like this is important that, as I've said many times, like I'm a generator, so is Amy. And if we happen to do something that is not right for us, but we keep like faking it. And for example, I'm thinking about this job that completely wore me out and just in a lot of different ways. And I just like kept showing up and against my better judgment, like I really didn't feel aligned with this job at all. And I was really unhealthy at that time because it just manifests in different ways. Like if you don't let your energy flow the way it's naturally supposed to, it'll find a way in another way. So I think really, really honor, okay, this is not right for me. I need to make a change. So that's really important for people that do have that intuitive guidance, like the sacral defined. And it's just so important to honor it and to recognize like, okay, that is my guiding light. Like I can trust that I know what's best for me and I'm going to take action according to that.
That's really interesting, because just thinking about like how, I mean, in energetics in any realm, whether it's human design or something else, like energy needs to be in motion and keep moving. So if you have all of this sacral generator energy that's not being manifested into a business or having kids or, you know, doing something, like you said, it can kind of manifest into maybe even like health issues. I mean, is that even safe to say? Would you say
that's
so interesting?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at where the sacral center is, it's like, it is, I mean, it's connected to your gut response. So I guess, yeah, there could be digestive issues or anything kind of going on with that. But then I also know, I think I've heard this before, that it's also connected to the adrenals. So that makes sense. Like if you're constantly pushing against your intuition, it could lead to adrenal fatigue or burnout because you literally don't have the hormones to keep going at the rate that you are, that feels completely unaligned with what you really need and want in your life.
That's so, so interesting. Okay. So moving further to the right,
Yes. So that emotional solar plexus center, that's that far right triangle. That one is, like it's saying, it's the emotional center. And a lot of people will think like, okay, if I have this one open, because again, when it's open, you're feeling energies from everyone else in the world or different experiences. People think like, oh, I can only be empathic if this center is open, but it's actually not true. That's something I kind of want to like bust a little bit, because there's a lot of different places in the chart where like you can feel empathetic. It's not just this center. So I just wanted to put that out there that yes, emotions live here, but like even if yours is colored in, for example, like Amy's is, I'm sure you have empathetic qualities, Amy. you might not be the person who like gets super impacted by, I don't know, somebody else crying, for example. Like you might be able to be the person that's like more of the consoling type. I mean, I'm going totally down an emotional road here, and that's not the only property of the center, but like you might be the person who, instead of like sitting there crying with them, you might be like able to console them and like kind of keep a clear head or something. Would you say that about yourself?
Well, it's interesting because I almost feel like I'm more of a fixer. Like if somebody comes to me and is really emotional, then I'll be like, let me tell you the solution to your problem, which is like the worst thing you should do when anyone is like trying to get consoled by you. But I also think it's interesting because is it true? And let me know if I'm wrong here, but when you have this center defined, it also means that you have kind of consistently, you're always feeling some type of way, basically. Is that true?
Yeah, like you have your own emotional wave, they call it in human design. It's like you have your own emotions that like are yours. And I would think, yeah, they would be consistent versus somebody who has an open emotional solar plexus, and they are feeling energies of like the guy at the grocery store and the woman down the street walking her dog who's like anxious. Like you might not pick up on other people's energies like that, but you're still feeling something because there's emotions that innately like live within you that are maybe repeatable.
Well, that's such a good point and such a good differentiation between, I think, the defined and the open for that center, because I was going to say, and it's not that I'm cold-hearted and not empathetic, but I feel like I'm not necessarily as tuned into other people's because I have my own, like, and I'm kind of always riding that wave. So yes, maybe it makes people with a defined emotional solar plexus a little bit less able to tune into other people's.
I think that could be accurate. Yeah. I mean, I think that when you have it defined, it's more of yours versus like being able to tap into other people's. So I think what you just said about how you kind of react to that of like, let me fix it. That definitely, I feel like, makes sense for the definition that you have in that center.
Interesting.
Yeah. But you have, so I wanted to call out a couple of gates that you have. So your 37, you have the 37 coming off of the emotional solar plexus. It's love of communication with your tribe. I feel like that's also you. Like we've already talked about this. You're the kind of the facilitator of groups, but you're also the person who loves communicating with them and like being that person that, not that you always have to be on, definitely not that, but like that you're willing to help them and you're willing to have conversations and like you're open to that communication with them so that they feel supported and appreciated.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely resonate with that for sure.
Yeah. And then the 55, like, it kind of goes back to what we talked about in the G center as your natural love of life. The 55 is that you want to feel the fullness of life. So you're the kind of person who like is when you're relaxing, you are relaxing. When you're working, you're working. Like you really are invested in what is going on and in that moment. And like, it doesn't mean that you can't get like sidetracked or have, you know, desires of doing something else, but it's like, you really can zone in and fully enjoy the moment.
Well, I would say that that's something I'm still working on. Well, it's interesting though, because that gate is red, which means that it's not, how would you describe the red again? So the black line means like you are aware of it, right? And then the red is kind of more unconscious. Is that true?
Exactly. Yeah. So the red is like the design, like how you're designed. And I always think of it's your core self. And as we go through life, of course, we get conditioned upon just naturally by teachers and parents and experiences and yada, yada. I haven't said yada. I don't think I've said that in like 3 years. I don't know where that came from. But anyway, yeah, the red is design. It's like who you are on a core level. The black also is too, but it's like the black is your personality. It's how other people would describe you or like how you would describe yourself.
That's really interesting. It's really interesting because that's like one of my desires is to really be in the moment with whatever I'm doing, but I definitely, it's something that I actively struggle with. So it's interesting that that's red. Can you talk for a second about what it means if like you, let's say really resonate with a gate number, but it's white, like you don't have it defined?
So actually that's interesting. I think it depends on a couple of other things. I think it depends on like, if there's, cause for example, if you have the channel is the full line between two different centers, and that can either be fully colored in and, you know, then that would make those two centers colored in, just to get technical there. But if like, let's say that only half of that channel is filled in, that means that's the gate that you have. And let's say that like you have a gate, like, I don't know, there's a gate that I really like. It's 41. It's the creativity gate. And then the opposite of that is the 30. So let's say that you have the 30 pulling from the emotional solar plexus, but you don't have the 41, but you feel like you're a really creative person. It could be that the gate 30 is like pulling energy from that gate, if that makes sense. Like it's like a gravitational force almost, like to kind of want that to be for you. So I don't know. I think it's interesting. I also think like we're always evolving as humans. And I feel like whatever you feel intuitively aligned with, I mean, maybe I say that as a generator, but I feel like it's worth exploring because you never know what might come from it. And maybe it would lead you to something else in your chart that is like a natural strength or gift.
Totally. Okay. Are you good on time still? I know this might be a little bit longer of an episode.
For sure.
Okay. Cause we still have two more centers to go through. So should we go back up?
Oh yeah. I almost forgot about the heart center.
I know I skipped over it too. So you guys, the heart center is the one that's kind of floating out. I mean, it's the one that's closest to your heart and anatomically. Yeah. So that's the easy way to look at it.
It is. Yeah. So this one is, this is the one that's like, is where willpower lives. It's where kind of bringing things to life on the material plane live. It's like, it's where your value and your worth and the way that you kind of see yourself lives. It's different than the G center that we talked about, but the will center is like, it brings things to fruition on the material plane. So like I said, value and money and willpower and ego and all of that. Yours is defined. So this is, and only 1/8 of the population actually has this defined, kind of interesting, but because this is called the will center, you have, and since it's defined, you have consistent access to willpower. So you're strong-willed, like you follow through on new habits and routines, and like it's easy for you to get on board with like, you know, a new routine that you have. Would you say that's true about yourself?
Yes. And I would say it's true almost to a fault. So I'll give you an example. Cause I mean, I think it's always good to hear perspectives, I think, of like what people that have these different elements of their chart feel about it. Cause I mean, you look at somebody who has a defined will center and you're like, oh my God, that's amazing. Because if you, you know, start a new habit or you start a new way of eating, you decide you're going to run a mile a day, you're going to stick with it. And I 100%, like I have so much willpower that it almost is like a detriment because I will prioritize those things over just like living my life sometimes. So it's great in terms of like getting me to a goal, but sometimes like I could use a little bit more flexibility.
For sure. Well, I think on the flip side of that too, though, like if you recognize that something's unhealthy, the defined will center also has that energy of like, you're able to quit something that you know is not right for you. And like, you're able to quit cold turkey versus some people will keep like kind of sneaking back to it. You're able to like cut that cord.
So for somebody who has an open will center, and let's say they are trying to start the habit of, you know, working on their business for 2 hours in the morning before they go to their regular job. Like, do you have any tips for working with that when you don't have consistent willpower?
So this actually exists, somewhere else in the chart too. It's up in those arrows, which I noticed, I don't know what your arrows are because for some reason they didn't show up in your chart. The colors or the arrows up there are about like consistency and discipline and strategy. And that's like where I bring a lot of clients up to those arrows during our readings because that strategy arrow, depending on which arrow or which direction it faces, you can either be somebody who is like a specific or a non-specific manifester. And that's how you can like call things into your life. Total tangent there. But the other side of the arrows on the left-hand side, those are your strategy and discipline arrows. So I would look at those. I always kind of bring people there. Like if someone is trying to be consistent about like working for 2 hours, like you said, working 2 hours before they go to work, and it's just, it's like not, they're not able to create that habit. I would look at the ego center or ego, will, heart center, interchangeable words there. Or I would look up to the arrows and I would say like, if your arrows on the left, if either one of them point to the left, then you are somebody who does have the ability to create structure like that and follow through with it. But if it points to the right, it means that you're a person who actually feels better when things are not as structured and you feel less like pressure and tension and maybe even like frustrated energy around that particular thing. So there's a couple places where that could fill in, but, or kind of appear in your chart. But I would say like, I think it's important to test all these things. Like, I think if you're trying to work for 2 hours a day and it's not working, maybe just try a different time of day. Like maybe it's not the 2 hours, maybe it's just that you don't have good energy, like to get work done in the morning, and maybe your energy comes later at night. So I would just pay attention to maybe a different type of that application, or a different application of what you're trying to accomplish.
And can we just go back real quick to talk about, you were talking about the arrows, and it's the arrows on the right side that tell you if you are supposed to be a specific or non-specific manifester. Is that right?
Yeah, it's the bottom right arrow.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you going to ask what, like which direction is what?
Yes, yes.
I read your mind, which is good. So if it points, if your bottom right arrow points to the left, then you are a specific manifester, meaning you're the type of person who would do, like when you're trying to call something into your life, it's really important that you get really specific about it. Like, for example, if I want to buy a house, I need to get specific about like, I want to live in this neighborhood. I want the kitchen to face west so I can see the mountains while I'm, you know, like washing my dishes, and 4 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, like whatever the details are, because that allows that energy of manifestation to like magnetize the opportunities to you. Versus if your arrow points to the right, you're a non-specific manifester, meaning you could actually stifle manifestation energy and magnetize magnetization, if that's a word, from your energy field if you're being too specific. So like for that type of person, it is stifling to be like, oh, I need this exact blueprint of like, of what I want to call in. That's so stifling for them. Like they're going to really cut off the abundance of the opportunities. If they get that specific, they do better at just saying like, oh, I'd like to have a house like in Denver and I'm going to start poking around and seeing what's available.
Are you specific or non-specific?
I'm a specific manifester, which is nuts. Can I tell you a cool story real
quick? Please. Yes, please.
So this has happened to me a couple of times. So there was actually these pair of sunglasses that I wanted. It wasn't even a specific pair. It wasn't like one that I had available, like that I could actually purchase. I just had the idea of what I wanted. And I was going through a 2B Magnetic, which is an amazing resource. If you haven't, you've heard of Lacey Phillips, haven't you?
Yeah.
So I was doing an exercise of hers, and she had us do this, like the, you know, decide or determine based on your human design chart, if you're specific or non-specific, and then kind of play around with the energy. So I was like, okay, what do I have to lose? Sure, I'll try this. So I am thinking about these sunglasses, and I write literally on the piece of paper, I should do a post about this because it literally blew my mind. But I wanted like plastic frames, and I wanted them to be brown. I wanted them to be tortoise shell like frames and oversized. And I kid you not, like a week later, I went to my friend's house and we were just like hanging out by the pool and whatever. Somehow we got on the conversation of sunglasses. I don't remember how. And I was like, yeah, I really like, this is what I'm looking for. And he's like, okay, look at this brand. And I pull it up and I don't like any of the options. And I tell him, I'm just going to type in the most generic thing into Google and see what happens. I typed in cute sunglasses. I'm not kidding. And a result from Aerie came up, and it was literally exactly what I wanted, and they were on clearance, and I freaking loved those sunglasses, and they were perfect. So that's an example of like, you put it out there and then it just kind of comes to you with this weird, mysterious ease. It's really weird.
That's so amazing. I love hearing manifestation stories because it just, I think also just having the openness to try something that seems like witchcraft. I mean, yeah. It's like seems so out there. Like, how could that be possible? But then it's like, if you just allow yourself to have that sort of childlike energy about it and just do it because it's fun and see what happens, it most of the time will happen.
Yeah, and so try it.
And I'm actually non-specific, which is interesting. And because when I found that out that I was not specific, up until that point, I had been being really specific with my manifestations. I was like writing down my very specific goals and what I wanted to achieve by when. And it honestly felt really stifling and suffocating because, like I said before, once I feel like I have this obligation almost, or like I've set this really specific goal, it almost haunts me until I get it, which I think was definitely blocking my manifestations. So now I'm just more, much more open. Like I'm more like, I want to feel this way. That's yeah, really vague, but that actually helps me a lot.
Oh, I love that. I think that is so valid. Like, I love that you switch that instead of bringing it from logic and being like, this is what I want. I want it so like specifically, and this is exactly what I'll accept, and I won't accept anything different. Like, I went to that robotic voice because that's sometimes what I feel like our brains do.
It's, totally.
I don't know. It's like on autopilot. Like, where the heck do these ideas even come from? But like feeling into it, I freaking love that. Like, I really honor and respect that you do that, because that's like a huge challenge for a lot of people, is to switch from the logic to the feeling. And especially as a generator, like, you'll know when that opportunity comes your way and it's the right one for you.
I love that. Okay. Yes. So anything else you wanted to say about the Will Center before we move down to the root, which is the last one, right?
Yeah. Real quick, I do want to touch on the open, if your Will Center is open, because we talked about like, if it's defined, you have consistent access to willpower, et cetera. But if yours is open, you don't exactly have as much access to willpower. So like following through on something like a diet or habit can be more difficult for you to implement. It doesn't mean it's impossible. It's just like, have some play energy around it and play. Like I said, like, maybe if it doesn't work in the morning to work those 2 hours, try at night, or try on the weekend, or try working with a friend or something like that. Like, test different environments, because it can be hard for you to stick to something consistently. Not that that's a bad thing, like I said, but you just have to kind of find your own way with that. And then the other thing with an open will center is that it can be, since value lives here and value and worth, it can be really hard for open will centers to feel like they're confident charging what their services and what their time is worth. So I feel like this is something that I personally hear from a lot of entrepreneurs, is I don't feel confident raising my prices. I have XYZ reasons why I shouldn't. And a lot of times those are based in logic and kind of trying to defend the open will center in a lot of times, because it's like, it's hard for that particular person. I mean, I go through this too, because I have the open will center. It's hard sometimes to raise prices because you feel like an imposter. You feel like it's not worth that. So my advice is honestly to push through. I know that sounds so much easier said than done, but when you kind of affirm to yourself, maybe write down on a sticky note, like, I have nothing to prove. I value myself. I value my services. They are valuable to other people, and I ask to be paid what I'm worth. Like, those things can be really powerful when said over and over again. And I know that sounds maybe like a high level like piece of advice, but I really do believe that over time you can rewrite that belief. But passing that back to you, Amy, do you have any tips for people that are kind of going through that,
having trouble charging what they're worth?
Yeah.
Or just kind of, so I think it's a really interesting conversation, because I think, and that's, I mean, part of the title of this podcast is worthy, right? I think that's such a huge component of making the amount of money that you want to make, is it first comes from having that self-worth. So I will just say, I'm actually going to kind of piggyback this off a conversation that I had with Dr. Nicole LaPera from the holistic psychologist. She was saying, this is totally one of her tips, I'm just going to steal it for a second, but she was saying, like, one of the ways that you can build your self-worth over time is just keeping one small commitment or one small promise to yourself every single day, even if that's as small as like, tomorrow and from every day from tomorrow on, I'm going to drink a glass of water. Because it's not so much about the act of what you're doing. It's the fact that you are making this tiny promise to yourself. And every time you fulfill that promise, you're slowly building your self-worth. So you can have it, that habit be whatever it is, but it can definitely trickle over into like your ability to charge what you're worth, or to stand in your power, or to speak your truth, whatever it is. So hopefully that's helpful to somebody.
I'm like mentally bookmarking that, because it's something I've been playing around with, and you just defined it in such a beautiful way. Like, having integrity for the ways that you show up for yourself, because I feel like that in turn like creates an energy where other people want to see your value too. Like they see that you're worth it. If you yourself see that you're worth it. So I absolutely love that. It's a great piece of advice.
Well, thank you. Yes. I can't claim it, but I'm glad that I can reshare it to everybody who's listening, cause I think it's really important. Okay. That was really good. So last one is the root center, which is at the very bottom of the chart.
Yes. So this one is a pressure center. And I forgot to say that about the head center at the very top too. They kind of mirror each other in pressure. So for example, the head center, like we said, is where you get inspiration and ideas. It sometimes can be like we did with the spleen center. You can kind of flip that script and think like, it's almost the pressure to figure things out. It's the pressure to have ideas and inspiration. So the same thing is kind of going on down in the root center. It's like the pressure to get things going, because it's the center of like momentum. It creates momentum and it creates this like, you know, just ability to kind of just like make things happen. It's where adrenaline lives. And it's just, I always think of just movement here. It's like getting things going. So yours is open, Amy. This is your only open center, which is the way that I would see that is your pressure. So again, like, because this one has pressure in it. Since it's open, the pressure that you might feel about anything in your life, like pressure about maybe a decision or pressure about showing up in a certain way, whatever, like that never actually comes from you. It's some other external stimulus that's putting that on you. So maybe it's somebody else's like belief system, or maybe you see the way that other people are doing things and it can be easy for you to be like, oh man, I should do that. But it's totally within like your definition, I guess, in the center to recognize like, okay, that's actually not my energy and I don't need to do any of that. I can make my decisions and I trust that my motivation will come when I need it and in the way that I need it.
That's really interesting. I guess like I definitely feel the pressure part of this center, and it's interesting because I feel like, I mean, I'm trying to remember what this center is all about. Is it about like, so adrenaline and like getting things done? Is there anything else?
Yeah. And I think of it as like getting into momentum, like kind of, I think of like a train, like just kind of getting things moving and like, kind of, so let me tell you about the gates that you have, because this might further define it. So 53 is that there's a part of you that like wants to start new projects, like that start energy of like, I want to create. But it's really important for you, instead of like feeling the pressure to actually start new projects, actually like kind of see all of them through, it's important for you to be selective about what you commit to. So boundaries really come into play with this center, because it's like, your motivation has to be like, it has to belong to you. Otherwise you're kind of like doing it for the wrong reasons, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense.
And then 58 is the pressure to perfect. Not that you're a perfectionist. That's not what this is saying. It's more about like this feeling of wanting to make things better. So like maybe seeing where things could be improved, or seeing where there's like a major lack of XYZ out there somewhere in the world. And you're the person who wants to like show up and kind of like, it's almost like a save the day energy. It's like, you really want things to be better and you're the person who's willing to like step up and do it. So again, like creating that momentum.
I think that's really, really interesting. And I wonder too, I'm trying to remember, is there something about like, if you have an open center, I mean, I guess this makes sense of what we talked about before, and somebody with a defined center, you are going to take in and kind of amplify their adrenaline energy.
Exactly.
I think that's so interesting, because my husband, his chart looks almost identical to yours, which is he's defined pretty much, or he's open pretty much everywhere except for the sacral and the root. And it's so interesting because he will tell me something that's like just no pressure coming from him whatsoever. He'll be like, oh, did you do X, Y, and Z thing? And I immediately take that as like, oh my God, I need to go do that. And I need to do it right now. It's like, I'm always feeling so much pressure from people that have a defined root center. And it's even, I just hired up my first like full-time assistant. And I even was like, Thank you. And we get along so well. And I was like, let me look at your chart because I guarantee you do not have a defined root center because I never feel pressure from you to like get you anything. And it was true. So I think that's so interesting.
Oh my God. See, that's amazing. Like, I feel like a lot of people are familiar with the Enneagram, but I say throw your human design chart in there too when you're trying to figure out like who you would work best with and like who you can borrow energy from to get things done. Like, I love when I'm about to tackle a project, I'm like, okay, what do I need to get this done? Like, what do I not have myself? Like maybe I might, you know, offset the pricing because I have an open ego, will, heart center where like value lives, and I might have trouble, you know, with that. That is something I'm working on, is like the pricing of things. So instead of me like working against the grain and like trying to fake it that I'm good at that, I might as well just try to find somebody who has that filled in, or maybe like it's not even a partner. Maybe it's like an accountant, or like not an accountant, but I don't know, somebody who can help you with that stuff.
No, totally. Like knowing where your strengths and weaknesses lie and like outsourcing what you need help with. I mean, that's just such a good reminder for anybody in business, I think. So. Yeah.
Yes. And there are a couple types too that specifically should be outsourcing. I'll just note them really quick as like manifestors and projectors, reflectors too. And it really does depend on like what's going on in your chart, but and MGs, everybody needs to outsource. Everybody needs some help.
Well, no, I totally see what you're saying. I mean, obviously I think everybody does need to outsource, but I think to an extent, and I will, and I'm not saying this like to toot my own horn, but I will say that for a long time in my business, I did everything. And I don't wear that as a badge of honor. I just say it as like, it was fine until like there was a certain point where it got big enough and I was like, okay, I do really need some help. But manifestors and manifesting generators and generators, I think for a long time, like if you're doing the thing that you're meant to be doing, you probably have the capacity for a while to do it yourself. I mean, ultimately, yes, everybody needs to outsource, but some of us, I think, have a greater capacity maybe than others, and no way is right or wrong.
Yeah. And some people are just like better skilled naturally at being the leader or the visionary, like kind of having that CEO energy where it really is good for them to have a team under them that can execute on their ideas so that they can stay in the brainstorming space. Like they can keep moving the business forward and coming up with strategies and ideas that are high level, and then having the people on their team execute. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like an energy exchange. Like you do what you're really good at, and I'm going to stay in my zone of genius too.
Yes. I love that. Oh my gosh. This I think is like the longest podcast I've ever done. And I could keep talking to you for like another hour because there's so much in the chart that we could talk about. So maybe I'll have to have you come back. Cause I actually think it'd be really interesting to go through each of the profiles and talk about that. So maybe we'll have to do that at some point.
I have to say, I'm not surprised this was the longest because I tend to get really chatty about human design. So I just want to thank you for your time because now we're over by like 25 minutes, but I really do appreciate that. And this was so fun.
Oh my gosh. No, thank you. I could keep talking about this forever. So tell people where they can go to find all the human design things and connect with you and all of that.
Yeah. So like we said at the beginning, definitely go to mybodygraph.com to get your free chart. You'll need your birth info. And then if you want to learn my style of human design and come learn what I have to say about using human design in business to feel strategically and intuitively aligned with what you're creating, you can come follow me. I'm over at Weeks of Wonder on Instagram and Facebook, mainly on Instagram, or you can find me at weeksofwonder.com.
And I will make sure all of her links are in the show notes. And then just a little FYI, if you guys didn't listen to Wendy and I's previous episode about Beauty Counter, we are always excited to have new people join our team. And Wendy is an incredible mentor. So if you're somebody who is wanting to start a business, but maybe you aren't a nutritionist or you're not certified in anything yet, but you want to chat with Wendy or I about Beauty Counter, you're always taking on new mentees, right?
Definitely. Yeah. I think that's definitely one of my strengths, is like helping people realize, like, or not even realize, just like step into their power and create cool shit. Like, yes. I love it. I love helping people expand. So yeah, I'm always doing that. And I definitely agree with you, Amy, that if you are looking for something to monetize and you're just starting out, that's exactly where I started with Beauty Counter. And I'm still like mainly relying on that income, but adding more of what feels good. So yeah, definitely let us know if you want to chat about that.
Yay. Okay. Thank you so much. You guys, if you love this episode and it told you all the fun things about human design and you want to share it with a friend, that would mean so much to me. Or screenshot it and share it to your stories. Tag Weeks of Wonder and at Rebel Nutrition so we can repost you. And I will talk to you soon. Thanks, Wendy. Bye.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks, everybody.